With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Rapid reactions. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. Rapid reaction. That's right, because it's NFL free agency and there's a lot of moving and shaking going on. So we wanted to bring in Derek Brown, aka D-Bro, aka the King of Bros, to break down some of the latest moves in the NFL. And of course, I want to remind everybody right at the top, if you want to stay up to the minute breaking news, make sure you have our Fantasy Pros News Desk app on your mobile device. So wherever you go, you get the most amazing updates, analysis, and breaking news, because you need that. And speaking of breaking news, Derek Brown, we have a new wide receiver with a new home here in Detroit. DJ Chark, 1 year, $12 million. So you got this right on the prediction show. So this is your chance to take a big old victory lap, my friend.
I mean, come on, Joe. We got to start off with this one because it was the talk of Twitter this morning. And look, I like this signing for Detroit. DJ Chark, I think that in everybody, and I'm going to get to it, everybody wants to know how this impacts Amon-Ra St. Brown. And I think that Chark signing just in general is not that much to move the needle a ton. Now, I did bump Amon-Ra St. Brown down to low-end wide receiver 3 territory, and some people could be shocked, and Twitter already hated that this morning. But if you add the Chark signing, it's been a long time since we've seen DJ Chark as a breakout, as a mega producer, going back all the way to 2019 when he was wide receiver 19. Now, yes, bad quarterback play has something to do with that, but if you look at his yards per route run, they have not been fantastic over the last two seasons. And I think that this marriage of Chark with Detroit is a better football signing than it is for fantasy. I'm currently putting Chark as a wide receiver 4 in my rankings. And Amon-Ra St. Brown, like I talked about, I've dropped him into the low-end wide receiver 3 tier. Now, you could parse that out however you want to. He falls into a long tier of players like Michael Gallup, Amari Cooper, a bunch of other names that are wide receiver 3s that could have wide receiver 2 upside if everything breaks right. Because you look at how Amon-Ra St. Brown finished the year last year. TJ Hockenson was out. DeAndre Swift was out. And even when he came back, he was basically just a part-time player. I don't think that Amon-Ra St. Brown is going to see the volume or the target share that he saw last year down the stretch. 33% target share. The dude was second in targets among all wide receivers behind only Justin Jefferson. That's insanity. And I just don't think that Detroit is going to have the volume per se to fuel him to be this unquestioned wide receiver 1. So I'm tempering expectations, but it's not to say I don't like the guy. I'm just being realistic based off of volume.
Well, also, let's be realistic on the deal, right? It's a one-year deal. It's not like they signed him to a multi-year contract. So does that have anything to do with how you should rank him or think about him? Because clearly they're telling you it's kind of a show-me situation in the first place, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he did not move at all in my dynasty rankings. I'm still exactly where I was prior to this. But in redraft perspective, we do have to move the needle a little bit. In saying that, okay, Hockenson was not there when Amon-Ra St. Brown was just vacuuming up targets. DeAndre Swift was not there. He was competing with targets with freaking Josh Reynolds and Khalif Raymond. If we think that, and we should, that DJ Chark is a better player than those two guys possibly rolled together, then it's going to have an effect on other popular or talented players in that passing attack. for a team that's not a high volume passing offense. Like, realistically, and zooming out a little further, Joe, how good or how many weapons do we think that freaking Jared Goff, of all people, can support in fantasy?
Well, I remember him kind of supporting Woods, Kupp, and Todd Gurley. So three. Three is my answer to that question. And one of them had to be an extraordinary, actually, two of them, extraordinary off-the-chart talents in Kupp that we realize now how good he is, and Todd Gurley, who was best on the planet for a short window, but still pretty special.
Well, so that's my answer. And my pushback to that is that was Sean McVay supporting all those weapons, not Jared Goff. That is a
fair push. I will take your pushback, and I will fall at rear end backwards over it. Let's talk about another wide receiver. Russell Gage is not going back to the Falcons. So I don't want to say we were wrong about that so much. So I'll just say we were incorrect. I don't like the phrase we were wrong. But Russell Gage goes and signs with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So this is a curious one because on the surface you say, well, Mike Evans is there and Chris Godwin's there. And yes, there was Antonio Brown last year, but is this an indicator of insurance policy for the Godwin injury now, having that ACL tear in December? Do you think it's just kind of padding the depth chart? Or do you think that really people who have Chris Godwin should be a little concerned here with this Russell Gage signing?
This doesn't move the needle for me for Godwin. I was already projecting in my ranks that he was going to be kind of slow out of the gate. And this is a fantastic signing for Tampa Bay. I think this is, you hit the nail on the head. This is an insurance policy for Chris Godwin. They do not have to rush him back. And Russell Gage is a player I was low on entering last season. But the dude, honestly, we have to be liquid. We have to adjust our viewpoints on players when they prove that they can do it. And that's exactly what Russell Gage did last year. I mean, without Calvin really in the lineup, Joe, he was wide receiver 18 in PPR, weeks 8 through 18, 26% target share. And the guy was awesome, not only from the slot, but outside. Amongst all wide receivers of 15 or more man coverage targets, the guy was 11th in yards per route run against man coverage. So this is a fantastic slam dunk signing for Tampa Bay on a guy that can operate in a similar role as Chris Godwin. And Lord help, when Godwin comes back and they are rolling these three wide receivers in the starting lineup and you have Gage and Godwin mixing between the outside and the slot, I mean, it's wheels up. For whatever we projected about Tampa Bay, it's really, really similar. And I'm not saying that he's the same talent level as Antonio Brown or anything of that nature, but if you were looking for Tampa Bay to replace a third wide receiver and to really help out this offense, especially with Godwin going to be slow out of the gate, Russell Gage is an awesome signing.
All right. Not every signing matters for that player. Sometimes it matters for other players. So J.D. McKissic, on the surface, people see it and say, oh, 2-year, $7 million deal with Buffalo. You can take that for what it's worth. Devin Singletary, I think, kind of cemented himself in that job, but McKissic, a nice signing regardless. However, what does this mean now that McKissic is gone from the backfield of the Washington Commanders? Is it now all of a sudden rocket ship to Antonio Gibson to the moon like we all want it to be anyway? Is it just that simple?
I think it's that simple. I bumped Gibson up, and I think that we saw over the stretch last year, down the stretch run, that Gibson showed that he could play in the passing attack. Like, I understand we all had our hopes and dreams about him being like CMC last year and that type of upside. I don't know that that type of like do it all, like top three running back upside is still in play, but I do think that this helps pad his floor and his ceiling. And I did move him up. Like, I think that it's fine to evaluate him in that 8 to 10 range for running backs, and he's going to run more routes because Jared Patterson, even though he played really well in the preseason, and maybe they add a pass catching back in the draft, but Patterson's not that type of guy. Like, if you go back to college and his prospect profile, his yards per route run were meh. They did not use him in that inkling in college. So I'm not projecting that to the NFL. And whereas McKissic, he's been fantastic. He's been elite at what he does. I mean, even last year, 9th in yards per route run amongst all running backs. And I think that it's going to, if we're going to switch this over to Buffalo, it's going to hurt Devin Singletary. He's not going to operate in that full-time role that we saw last year. And he really shouldn't, though. He's been good on early downs. He's extremely elusive, a lot more than a lot of people give him credit. But 0.74 yards per route run over his career is not going to get it done. And he has been quite terrible in pass protection. McKissic's going to be a really good player for Buffalo. Maybe not great for us in fantasy, but I think it's going to hurt Devin Singletary, and it's going to be a really good signing for Buffalo from an NFL perspective.
It's a great point there on the pass protection side there when talking about Singletary. So that's something everybody should chew on and think about and thank Derek Brown on Twitter afterwards. Let's talk about Cedric Wilson, 3 years, $22 million to the Miami Dolphins, who've been busy little bees so far this offseason. They also brought Teddy Bridgewater in as well. They brought Chase Edmonds in. So a lot of new stuff going on here. So new head coach McDaniels is really looking for some new pieces. So what are your thoughts on Cedric Wilson now going to the Miami Dolphins?
This is another, just drop this into the same bucket, another better NFL move than it is for fantasy. Cedric Wilson, I mean, he's going to play out of the slot, 90% slot rate last year. I think that if we're looking for the fallout for this, this is going to push Jaylen Waddle outside more. He was in the slot 60% of the time last year, and I think he can play outside. So this is not where I think that you're bumping Waddle down. But if you look at McDaniel and what they did in San Francisco, and I understand that, yeah, Shanahan's calling the plays and stuff, but you got to think that some similarities in scheme are going to cross over to South Beach, then I think that they're going to run a lot of 12 personnel, a lot of 21 personnel. San Francisco was 27th in three wide receiver sets last year. Now, that's going to go up a little bit considering what Miami did last year. But again, I think that the biggest impact for this is not with Wilson, but with Waddle. And I think we're going to see Waddle move. He's going to still get into the slot, I'd say 35, 40% of the time. But I think the biggest impact here is that he's going to be outside. And I think that that's a good thing. We could see Jaylen Waddle used more downfield this year. And he really, really needs to be, man. Like, my comp to him coming into the NFL, Joe, was Tyler Lockett. Now, we saw Jaylen Waddle operated as a really explosive version of Jarvis Landry last year. I need to see him unlocked this year, use him down the field, and we just watch him ball out all year long.
Well, you saw it in Alabama. I mean, he was a guy that they used on the outside or in the slot. They would move him all over the place, and Jaylen Waddle is incredibly explosive. That's what I was going to ask you, too, because those slot targets are so valuable in fantasy, so when he's moving out of there, it's a little tricky unless Tua can really go ahead and, you know, continue to develop and use him in that regard. Now, there's a bunch of other signings here. Zay Jones, real quick, 3 years, $24 million for the Jacksonville Jaguars. How much pre-gaming for St. Patrick's Day has the front office done here for this deal in Jacksonville? I guess that's my question to you.
Good Lord. They have balked. They have just absolutely balked. The entire budget, the roster, everything. Like, this is what happens when you get Trent Baalke and they keep him around. These are the type of moves that get made. Zay Jones gets 24 mil. And no hate on Zay Jones. Like, get your bag, son. Like, go ahead. Get your money. I get it. But Zay Jones does not deserve this type of contract. This is ridiculous. He's coming off a career year, and I say that very mildly, with 1.35 yards per route run. It's just bad. Like, basically, he was the best of bad options as far as on the outside last year for the Raiders. And it's not going to be better moving to Jacksonville. So good news for him in securing the bag, but good Lord, this was such a terrible signing for Jacksonville.
CJ Uzama, 3 years, $24 million with the Jets. I actually kind of like this one because CJ showed you quite a bit, I think, with the Cincinnati Bengals at times last year. He had some massive performances, but just not enough targets to go around that offense. But young quarterbacks tend to like to check down. Do you like this CJ signing for New York?
I feel like a broken record right now, but I don't think this is going to be great for fantasy. I think it's more along the NFL side. And you just look at the tight ends they were rolling out last year, were terrible. Like, Tyler Kroft is not going to get the job done. CJ Uzoma is not a world beater. Like, he got a lot of volume last year, and I think that he was good for us, especially in some weeks in DFS and in fantasy. But if you look at his efficiency, he's just not that guy, Joe. And he's not young either. Let's say he's 29 years old. So you're looking at this, and yes, tight ends do age a little more gracefully than other positions, and he is athletic. But for a guy that amongst all tight ends that had 20 or more targets, and he was 39th out of 58 tight ends and yards per route run, right ahead of Zach Gentry and Jordan Akins, it's not good company to keep. So,
but in all fairness, that's not his role with the Bengals.
That's fair.
It doesn't mean he can't do it with the Jets. And I'm not trying to make him a thing, but in those dopey tight end premium leagues that people who hate themselves and they try to play them and there's some reason why to torture themselves. I mean, this could be a guy all of a sudden where I think with Zach Wilson there might be a little bit more for him potentially in the offensive side in fantasy. Also, the Jets brought back Tevin Coleman, which might be obviously the biggest news of this entire you know, offseason of the NFL. Also from an IDP perspective, I want to talk about this. Hassan Reddick, 3 years, $45 million to the Philadelphia Eagles. This is a really good signing. You know, with Arizona a couple years ago, 12 and a half sacks, kind of came out of nowhere with that. And he had 60 tackles. And I remember doing the preview show here on Fantasy Pros, the IDP show that Scott Bogman and I host here. So if you play IDP, it's a great show for you to be listening to. Every single week, we talk IDP here at Fantasy Pros. A lot of people thought he couldn't recreate that. And he goes to Carolina. Guess what? 11 sacks, 62 tackles. So this becomes a really useful IDP player. It's a good situation for him. Certainly, there was a need there, a massive need for the Philadelphia Eagles to get another linebacker, and they did it. So good job on them. And again, I think he's now established himself. Hassan Reddick is a guy that, you know, probably an LB2, but that's a really solid LB2. Is going to have some LB1 weeks. There's no doubt about that. Also, James White resigns a 2-year deal with the Patriots. I was a little surprised by this one. Does this mean anything for Stevenson at all? Does this hurt anybody in the backfield now that James White's back in town?
Yeah, I mean, I've got to bump down Ramondre Stevenson. He's going to end up in high-end handcuff territory now, where he was kind of in high-end RB4 territory, maybe low-end 3 territory, depending. I mean, I had him ranked aggressively, but I'm going to have to bump him down and see where he's going to sift out, because James White, for the role he plays, he was still super effective. I know it's limited last year, 2.47 yards per route run, and his yards after contact per attempt have fallen in each of the last 3 seasons. But again, in the role that he performs in, he's still going to be fantastic. And so you're going to have to bump down Big Daddy Stevenson a little bit in ranks.
All right. If you want to follow along with all of the latest offseason news, again, make sure you have downloaded that Fantasy Pros News Desk app to your mobile device and stay tuned to all of the many, many more contracts and more moves to come in the NFL. God knows there's going to be more of them. We have not slept in days. Your Fantasy Pros. Also, head over to fantasypros.com too, so you can read all of the massive breakdowns of all these moves and these impacts and check out the rankings. As Derek said, we've been adjusting them on the fly. It seems like what, every 30 seconds, 45 seconds? How often are the rankings changing for you? It feels like
I've already changed them 5 times today. And this is not just my redraft rankings, but best ball and dynasty. They're all getting the refresh and the spit shine every single time the moves happen.
I've made a commitment to myself between NFL and baseball that I do it once a day now. Once a day, I just wait for everything to flood in, and then I will go and fix it all. It's like trying to clean up after your kids. That's what basically this is. But we're going to be here for you cleaning up. We'll have another rapid reaction pod tomorrow with all of the latest news that's breaking. But that'll do it for us for now. For Derek Brown, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. All that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.